But down to 28B we go. Thomas Trias is joining us right now. He is the Democrat running for the House seat in the very southeastern district in the state of Minnesota. He's kind enough to take some time today to talk about his campaign. Thomas, thank you very much.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
Now, Trias, I said that correct?
That's exactly right.
Beautiful. I want to start off really quick here. Last week, we had some pretty heavy-duty storms. I know a lot of parts of the southern part of the state were hit hard. Was your district hit at all very hard?
We escaped most of it, but a town called Hoka, which is in the district, had a little bit of damage to the falls in Hoka, but nothing to residents. So we kind of lucked out. It kind of went over to Wisconsin and Coon Valley and over by La Crosse. So we managed to make it out okay.
Your district is in the very southeastern part of the state here. And of course, I don't know if you are a fan of the Green Bay Packers, but you do us a favor by being close to those people. the buffer zone for the rest of us.
It can be a little tough in a town called La Crescent, which is on the border with the river there in Wisconsin. And we had Apple Fest. You talked about apples. Apple capital of Minnesota is La Crescent, which is the biggest town in the district. And we had a parade the weekend that the Vikings played the Packers. So it was a little awkward with the Packer-Viking dynamic there.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time down there, and you keep those guys at bay. You keep them across. La Crosse. We have La Crescent. We'll just keep it that way.
Right.
Thomas Lynn, why don't you give a little background? Who exactly is Thomas Trias?
Yeah, well, I'm a fifth generation resident down here. I grew up in my little outside of a town called Spring Grove, which is a town of 1,300 people. I live in a township called Wilmington Township, and my parents grew up there about 150 years ago. My ancestors came from Norway, settled the land, started farming and taking care of the property there, and I still live there, which is super cool. And now I serve on the school board, local school board in Spring Grove. We have our own little school district here of about 350 kids, K-12. So all of the district that I'd represent in 28B is small towns. Like I said, La Crescent's the biggest town, so small towns and farms. And that's kind of why I'm running to help preserve and protect our rural communities.
You are by far not the only person with school board experience or education experience that this time around is running for office. Was that experience that you've been having, is that a motivator for you to run? What exactly prompted you to say, you know what, I want to represent 28B?
It is exactly why I started to run in the first place. And I actually announced I ran in 16 as well. And so joining the school board right away, I realized that our hands were tied on a lot of different issues. Of course, funding being the biggest barrier, but some of the unfunded mandates and all the testing requirements and all the requirements that the state puts down that might work for some districts and might not work for others. And so, but funding, of course, is the biggest. Over 80% of our funding comes from the state. So if the state doesn't do their part, then we have to go to our taxpayers, and our tax base isn't as big as some other districts in Twin Cities or other parts of the state. So I said, we need a voice in St. Paul that'll look out for our small school districts.
You know, it's one of the things, Thomas, which is really interesting, is that this is not only a rural school district issue. The inner city schools are grossly underfunded for what they've got, too. There are problems with the state funding of education that it's dynamic, because small communities, like you're saying, in your personal experience, it shows that if you don't change this, we're going to end up losing these school districts. And that's a huge part of the character of the communities. But then as well, it's also just a reluctance to deal with a very large problem that the state needs to rethink how education is funded as a whole, and that to make sure that these school districts, and especially in outstate Minnesota and in the inner city, are basically funded correctly so that they're not crippled by one or two minor upgrades or changes in the dynamic.
Exactly. We see, since I've been on the board, the biggest challenge has probably been facilities. A lot of our buildings are just really old, and to keep up with technological advancements and in education, and keep up with safety kind of measures that trying to keep our kids safe and create a dynamic that's a 21st century environment has been extremely difficult for us as a very old building. We haven't really done a whole lot of upgrades. Maybe you know, the new additions to our school was in the 20s and 30s, and we've done some renovations here and there in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, that's been the biggest challenge. So it's going to be great to have a few more, you know, pro-education educators or legislators in rural districts like mine in St. Paul making these decisions for us.
Well, and I want to make sure everyone hears what you said. 1920s and 1930s, that's when most of your school district buildings were initially built, and many of, and there are some that haven't even been upgraded since then, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some minor upgrades and stuff, like, but for the most part, the general structures are the same, and the, you know, the cells and bells sort of school district, traditional school district model still exists, and so it doesn't really adapt to the needs of students today in 2018. So to me, that's been kind of the biggest barrier, but we're doing what we can with what we have in our school districts. I mean, we spend a lot less per kid than a lot of other districts. But if you look at the disparities in spending per kid, I mean, you can get the average in Minnesota spent per kid is about $11,000. In my district, the average is about $7,600, $8,000 per kid. So quite a disparity there.
And it, one of the things that's a problem that we have today with the current system is that when people say, well, just put a referendum on the ballot. Well, as you described, most of your district is at, you know, is farmers. Is you know, when you're looking at the margin for a farmer being $25,000, $26,000, asking them to give you $500 of that to upgrade facilities, I mean, it's not necessarily that they don't want to. It's just they can't feasibly do it when the margins are so tight for the ag sector. I mean, it just is. This is why the people, we need to have everyone in St. Paul on board, is because the referendum solution is not a solution that works in many communities.
That's exactly right. And when commodity prices are sky high, you know, maybe in 2012, 2013, yeah, farmers were willing to dish out more. But as they are now, I mean, there's no money in farming as far as the cash flow goes. And so these tariffs are really hurting us in southern Minnesota disproportionately. And so, yeah, things are really not great for farmers. And so the last thing they want to do is dish out more in property tax.
When you talk to farmers out there, let's bring that up next, is I mean, I've heard this before. There are numerous other outstate districts. I especially talked to a few people out in the very western part of the state that have said, oh, yeah, these tariffs are actually, they're scaring people because they're impacting now, and it doesn't look like there's any time soon that these are going to ease up.
Yeah, there's definitely a fear in the air here. There are, especially with younger farmers. I'm 28 years old, and I don't farm full time, but I help my dad. He still farms corn and beans, but he's 65. You know, he's the farm's paid for. I mean, he's been farming his whole life. But for my generation of farmers, it's extraordinarily scary because there's a lot of debt accumulated there, and they've assumed and they borrowed for better prices, and the prices have tanked. And so, yeah, I think bankers are scared. I think a lot of, especially younger farmers, are really fearful out there. So a lot of anxiety, and I hope, I hope we stop this trade war on the federal level, and we keep increasing trade on the state level. We just had a deal with Taiwan yesterday that the governor signed for about over a billion dollars in soybean trade with Taiwan. So things like that, I mean, will help, but we got to stop the trade war for sure.
And, you know, especially in Minnesota, I mean, with Canada, I mean, that's such a huge trade partner with us on a lot of different products. There comes a point where the state itself, that the federal government's not going to help us out. We need to have leadership in St. Paul that's going to buck the trend of Washington, D.C. and basically put forward a policy that's going to help Minnesota. And I think that's what we need in St. Paul as well.
Exactly. That's what I see too. I mean, the federal government's going to do their thing. They're fighting and picking partisan battles left and right, but the real change is going to happen. Real progress is going to happen state and local.
It is a very pretty part of the state. I have been down there a few times. I've been in La Crescent. I have been down to the apple orchards down there. They're magnificent. It's a great time. I'm setting this up as it's a great time to visit 28B in the very southeastern part of the state. Correct?
It is a beautiful time. The leaves are changing. This district down here, it's two counties, so it's all of Houston County, all of Fillmore County. It's 1,431 square miles, Matt, so that's a little under the size of Rhode Island, mm-hmm. the state of Rhode Island. So it's a big area, and there's plenty of doors to knock. Mm-hmm. And we have 64 precincts down here, so it's a big area, but we've been hitting going to every town festival. We're doing our final parade tomorrow in Wyckoff, a town in Fillmore County. That's number 17 since May. So if you want to come to the Wyckoff Parade, we'd love to see you there at 11. And then we're going to do some more door knocking after that. And that's pretty much all I've been doing all summer and fall, is knocking on doors, talking to voters. They're ready for a change. And we're ready to provide that change.
Well, and it should be mentioned, your district is well within the margins. We've seen a 20-point swing in this country from the right to the left, and this district is very much within play. Fillmore, Houston counties, 28B. Think about this, people. You can go out of the city. Once again, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a relatively safe district, then take some time. Head on down. Sounds like some good apple picking to be had down there in 28B. Go down, pick some apples, do some door knocking, or if you can, write a donation out. Help out Thomas Trias in 28B and see if we can help get him to St. Paul to help out his district and help out the state as a whole. If a person wants to find out about volunteering or donating, what's the website they should go to?
ThomasTrias.com, T-R-E-H-U-S, ThomasTrias.com. Check it out. You can donate. We've already raised over $50,000. So for a state house race, I think that's pretty good, Matt. And we're going to raise more because our opponent is the chair of the tax committee. And so he has pretty much unlimited resources. He's going to raise over $100,000. He's blown through the caps already. So we need to keep up with that as best we can. And we're out working him on the doors, but, we're expected to see a whole bunch of negative ads in the next few weeks, so we got to combat that. So I'd appreciate all the help that we can get down here.
Thomas Trias. Now, once again, it is Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Trias, T-R-E-H-U-S.com. I'll link to all this on social media a little bit later on. Thomas, 28B, thanks for being Democrat of the Day. I really appreciate the time and all my best as we head towards November.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thomas Trias is once again joining us. Democrat of the Day, let's take a break. Come on back. I will try my best to update you on what the heck happened in Washington, D.C., but reality is there's so much that's been going on. It's insane. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.